Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochem Daf Kuf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we had seen Shitas Rav Chilkia in a machlokas between Rav Chilkia and Rav Huna. Rav Chilkia pointed out that which the Mishnah teaches, that an osham that is shechted b'chutz b'mechusar zman is potter, that is true only if it's shechted lishmoi b'chutz. However, if the osham is shechted sheloi lishmo, namely, the korban osham is shechted with the intent of another korban in mind, for example, with the intent of a korban ola in mind, then if done b'chutz, one would be in violation of shechitas chutz. And the reasoning behind that is that an osham sheloi lishmoi b'fnim is kosher. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Kuf Tes Vov, 3 lines from the top, you notice a triangle. The triangle is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh, structural note, heading. The triangle is there, and we've written Nisyonos, attempts, L'sayeya L'Rav Chilkia. As you go down the Gemara, you'll see several triangles, 3 triangles. Each one is an attempt on the part of the Gemara to bring a support to this Shita, the Shita of Rav Chilkia, where the Chiyuv arises, the Chiyuv of Chutz arises, Davka, if you're doing the Korban, Sheloi Lishmoi. In addition to the triangle marking, you'll see a few lines later a double underline with dots in it. This highlights the expression elolav, shelo lishmo, where the Gemara will attempt to conclude at each point the support for, the attempted support for Rav Chilkia, where the topic at hand is discussing or describing a korban that's done sheloi lishmo, and with the shelo lishmo intent, with the non-specified attempt, dafka, through that, specifically through the shelo lishmo intent, there arises guilt, which would be in line with Rav Chilkia's teaching. So as we turn to the 3rd line from the top, lemo misayeya lei, let us bring support to, or can we suggest that the following will support Rav Chilkia, who said that an osham mechusar zman sheloi lishmoi b'chutz is chayav. The following source, yochol shani moitzi af oilo mechusar zman bebailim, v'osham nozir v'osham etzoro, Talmud loimar shor mikomakom, kesev mikomakom, eiz mikomakom. Before going further, we want to note something else. As we go along in this sukkah, we will see several Tanaic sources, and you can see there are frames as you go down the daf. Each Tanaic source will begin with the same type of beginning, Yochol She'ani, and then the next word will be emphasized with a squiggle underline. In this case, it's Shani Motzi. Should I exclude from the prohibition of Shechitas Chutz? When a source opens up like that with such a suggestion, the result is not so. In other words, the suggestion is, should I exclude? And the answer is, no, I will not exclude. The next source, afterwards, you'll see the next triangle, the source says, Yochol Shani Marbe, should I include in the prohibition of chutz, of shechting outside the Beis HaMikdash? And later on, we'll see another source with the same type of beginning. So we're here to explain the role of this squiggle underline so as to make it clear what the role of each source is. So in the meantime, the pasuk mentioned El Pesach Oil Moed Lo Hevioi, where the pasuk cites the iser of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the source is asking, Yochol, we'll read the source again now with explanation, Yochol Shani Moitzi, should I be able to exclude from the prohibition of slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash, Oilo Mechuser Zman B'Bailim? An example of this would be a woman who gave birth at the end of her at the end of the Torah period following the birth. She brings sacrifices. She brings a korban ola. Likewise, a mitzora at the end of his saras period brings a korban ola. Let's say they have not reached the time to which at which point they're obligated to bring. They bring it prematurely. That's an ola mechuser zman b'baylim. Well, let us say that ola is slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. Will that be innocent? Will that be guilt-free from the problem of Shitas Chutz? And other examples, V'osham Nozir V'osham Mitzora. This is a case of a Nozir who became Tomei. He defiled himself to the dead. So at the end of a certain period, he brings a Korban Osham. And a Mitzora also at the end of his Tzoras period, he brings a Korban Osham. Let us say they are Mechuser Zman. They haven't reached the time at which to bring it. And they are brought anyway outside the Beis HaMikdash. Are they excluded? Talmud Lomar, Shor Mikomakom. The Pasuk dealing with Shechitas Chutz mentions these different animals, and it mentions it in an unqualified fashion. So a Shor under all circumstances, or a Kesev, a sheep under all circumstances, or a goat under all circumstances. That's the end of the source. This source cited very specific examples. It mentioned an Ola and an Osham. These people, a Nozir, for example, that became Tomei, or a Yoledes, she brings a Chatos as well. And that yet that's not mentioned as an example. The Ilu Chatos Shaira. The Chatos was left out and was not included in this guilt, in the guilt of Chutz, premature Chatos done outside the Beis HaMikdash. B'mai Askinon, what are we talking about in this case? Ilemo Bismano, if you are to think that we're talking about the bringing of the Korban at its right time, and namely not prematurely, and done lishmoi, done with the korban intent, my irya osham. Why does the source speak about including the osham as guilty if done outside the Beis HaMikdash? Afilu chatos nami, even if it were a korban chatos, there would be a chiyuv of chutz. Namely, a chatos bizmano michutz laBeis HaMikdash is an iser of shchitas chutz. So why does this source not include the chatos in its example of chutz violation? Elo, rather, you must say, shaloi bizmano, that the source is talking about the korban is brought at an inappropriate time. In other words, its time has not yet arrived. And we are including in the Iser Chutz and Osham. So we're narrowing in on what the topic of the source is. So we're talking about an Osham Shelo Bizmanoi. Uvemai. Further, what are the further circumstances? Ilema Lishmoi, if you're talking about a Korban Osham slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash with Osham intent, that's Lishmo, for its sake, for an Osham intent, well then, Osham Amai Chayav. Why would he be guilty if he does an Osham Lishmoi Bachutz? It's Shelo Bizmano, it's premature. It's not a kosher korban. Namely, it would not be kosher to be brought that way in the Beis HaMikdash. As a result, there would be no chiyuv if it's done outside. As we've said numerous times in these recent sukkis, that the only time there's a chiyuv chutz is when its parallel would be expected to be done inside. But if you're talking about an osham shelo bizmano, it's not done. It's not done in the Beis HaMikdash as an Osham. Therefore, why should an Osham Lishmo Sheloi Bizmano be Chayav Bachutz? El Olav, rather, you must conclude Sheloi Lishmoi, that the Osham that the source features, when done Sheloi Bizmano Bachutz, is an Osham Sheloi Lishmoi. And we're including Dafka the case of an Oshem Sheloi Lishmo Bachutz is being Chayev, and that's exactly what Reb Chilkiyah said. So at this point in the Gemara, we would say, if the opening question of this section where the triangle was, can we bring a support to Reb Chilkiyah, we would say, yes, this would seem to be a support for his position. The Gemara rejects it. Li'oilom bizmanoi v'sheloi lishmoi. The case at hand is not shaloi bizmano. It's at its expected time, but it's done shaloi lishmoi. So before we go further, let's just point out that since we're setting it up right now as bizmano, this has nothing to do with the topic that Reb Chilkiyah was discussing. Reb Chilkiyah was addressing the sugya of shaloi bizmano, or mechusar zman. So we're saying now that we're talking about it's done at the expected time, when the Yoledes, let us say, finished her Leda period, or the Metzora finished his Tzaras period. And the source featured an Osham. The question comes up now, if you're talking about Bizmanoi, so the case of the source featured the Osham and did not mention a Chatos. For Rabbi Eliezer he, this source conforms to Rabbi Eliezer, Diomar, Makshinon Osham Lechatos. Rabbi Eliezer at the beginning of this Masichta said that just like a Korban Chatos Shelo Lishmo is Posel, an Osham Shelo Lishmo is also Posel. V'tana tofel, the Tana teaches the case of the Osham. The Osham is viewed as subsidiary to the Chatos within this discussion. Namely, concerning the issue of lo lishma, the Osham is subsidiary. The Chatos is the primary example of a korban, if done shelo lishma, as being puzzle. The Osham being secondary to the Chatos, but it too, according to Rabbi Eliezer, an Osham shelo lishmoi is puzzle, completely puzzle. And yet, we're saying that if the Osham is done, Sheloi Lishmoi, Bachutz, he's Chayov, V'tana Tofel, the Tana teaches the case of the Osham, V'uadin Iker, and the same halacha would apply to the Chatos. But now, one has to analyze. The principle of Shechitas Chutz states that if done, if the korban that's done outside would have been acceptable inside, then there's grounds for chutz. But the osham and the chatos, if done shelo lishmo, is not acceptable inside. So why, if it's done shaloi lishmoi b'chutz, is there a chiyuv? So we have to add explanation. And the reason for the chiyuv is because this korban, the korban osham or the korban chatos, as they are in their stam, in their neutral fashion, they are kosher to be done bifnim, because we're talking about bizmanoi. And as long as he has not shechted it with a, as long as he has not uprooted the korban name at the point of shechita, at the point of its slaughtering, it would have been kosher to have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, this is a korban that it's true that at the time of the shechita itself, he is shechting it shelo lishmo. But the korban itself would have been fit to be brought as an osham or as a chatos in the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, he's shechting a korban that would have been fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, there's a chiyuv of chutz, even if he does it, shaloi lishmoi. But as far as our sugya is concerned, at the point in which the Gemara set the source up as dealing with bizmano, it no longer has bearing on what the sugya is trying to do, namely, bring support to Reb Chilkiyah, who spoke about a case of shaloi bizmano, or mechusar zman. Toshma. So we continue with another attempt, as the triangle indicates, to support Reb Chilkiyah. Reb Chilkiyah had said that an osham shelo bizmano shelo lishmo bachutz is chayav. So the source says, yochol shani marbe, should I include in the violation of shechitas chutz Oilas mechutzer zman begufa. A korban ola, which is not yet fit for being brought because of something internally wrong with it, namely internally as opposed to a problem or a chisaron with regard to the owner, here it's with regard to the animal itself. For example, within its first 8 days of birth, with an animal when born, it's not to be brought as a korban within the first 8 days of its birth. Furthermore, should I marbe the chatos bein begufo bein bebaylim, or a chatos that's mechusar zman, whether it be begufo, like within 8 days of its birth, or the owner is not yet ready to bring it? Talmud lomar ve'al pesach ol moed, kol sheino roi lovoi bepesach ol moed, ein chayovin alehen. Anything that would not be fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, if done outside, is not chayav. Therefore, the oila mechusar zman begufa, or the chatos that's mechusar zman, whether it be begufa or bebailim, if done outside, is not chayav. The ilu osham shaira. But the example of a korban osham is not included, and that must be because an osham would be chayav if done bachutz. Well, b'may askinan, what are the circumstances? If we would be talking about a korban osham that's done with an osham intent, b'mechusar zman, well, osham nami lifterei, the osham should also be included in the exemption. So why does the source feature only an ola and chatos as being exempt if done bachutz? If you're talking about a case of mechusar zman and done lishmo, the osham also would be exempt if done outside. Elolav sheloi lishmo. It must be that the circumstances of this source are talking about where it was done sheloi lishmoi. And if that be the case, we mentioned that an osham is not included in this particular source, and that's because the osham would be chayav if done bachutz. We're talking about an osham b'mechusar zman shelo lishmo. This is what Rav Chilkiyah said is guilty. The Gemara rejects this. Ha money, Rabbi Eliezer he. This source is according to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. This we saw just before as well in the previous section of this Gemara. The Gemara here with its push-off is doing the same thing as it did above, that this source is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, and we're talking about the Korban Eshechted Sheloi Lishmoi, the Makish Osham Lechatos, who compares Osham, Rabbi Eliezer compares an Osham to a Chatos. So if we're talking about a case of mechusar zman, the mechusar zman is not fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash whatsoever. And the osham mechusar zman is also not fit. The Tana teaches here the case of chatos. Tana Iker, the Tana teaches the case of the Chatos as being Potter, bearing in mind the Chatos Sheloi Lishmo, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is completely Puzzle. And as such, if it were done in the Beis HaMikdash, a Chatos B'mechusar Zman Sheloi Lishmo is completely unfit, therefore Bachutz it's exempt. But kol shekein latofel, and certainly the osham would be potter. And the fact that we're explaining tana ikur, but kol shekein latofel, the case of the osham is not a shairo, it's not a leave out. It's not left out. Let us look at the Rashi. In the wide lines, you'll see a double star. Homoni, Rabbi Eliezer, he, kloimar, vadai, bishaloi, lishmoihi, ke de ko amris. It's definitely a case of shalo lishmoi, as we set it up. Hilko chatus potter, de lochozi bifnim. The chatus is therefore exempt if done outside, because it's not fit to be done inside. Loi, bilishmoi, veloi, bishaloi, lishmoi, de mechusers manhu. It's not fit to be done. It's not fit to be done in the Beis Hamikdash Lishmoi, and not Shelo Lishmoi. It's B'chusar Zman. The Osham Nami Potter. The Osham as well will be exempt if done outside. Deloi Chazi Lifnim Lishmoi B'chusar Zman V'loi Sheloi Lishmoi. The Osham is not fit, whether it be Lishmoi or Shelo Lishmoi. And Osham Shelo Lishmoi, the Rebbe Elezer Kamar the Apostle, the Osham Shelo Lishmoi. Rabbi Elezer holds that an Osham Shelo Lishmo is completely possible. Therefore, this source being authored by Rabbi Eliezer classifies the Osham Shelo Lishmo as completely possible, which is different than the, and which is not the case that Rebbe, or let us say, it's not the Shita that Rebbe Chukia was saying his din. If we just remind ourselves of Rav Chukia's halacha, Rav Chukia spoke about an Osham Shelo Lishmo Bachutz as being Chayav Bachutz, because an Osham Shelo Lishmo would have been kosher in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you hold like the Tano Rebbe Eliezer, an Osham Shelo Lishmo is completely puzzled. Therefore, if it's done outside, it's exempt. Turning back to the Gemara. Toshma, d'chi'osu Ravdimi, Omar, when Ravdimi came, he said, Tona debe bar livoi. Bar livoi, in the yeshiva of bar livoi, they teach the following source. Yochol shani moitzi. This source, by the way, may seem familiar. We saw this source quoted above. So it says, should I exclude from the prohibition of chutz, yochol shani moitzi, af oilas mechusar zman bebailim, osham nazir v'osham mitzora? Should I exclude these cases of mechusar zman from iser chutz? My Talmuda, what's the basis of saying that there is guilt? Amar Avina, shor mikomakom, kesef mikomakom, eiz mikomakom. We saw this quoted in the source that was mentioned above. As a result of these psukim, we know that there will be guilt if done bachutz. However, we saw this very attempt done above. Ha mai rumya. How does this support Rav Chukia? Ke de amris. We already pushed it off above, as we mentioned earlier. In other words, we said that this source was talking about a case of bizmano shelo lishmoi, and the source was taught according to Rabbi Eliezer, and that the case of Chatos was in fact not left out. The source taught the case of Osham, and Chatos as well would be included. So the question right now is, what does Ravdimi intend by bringing this source? Or let us say, what does the Gemara intend by bringing this source as a support to Rav Chilkio when we saw the same source brought above, and then was the attempt to support Rav Chilkio was derailed? And let's go over the main point. It was derailed by setting up the source as bizmano, and hence not relevant to Rav Chilkio, who was discussing mechusar zman, premature. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman explains how there is an attempt to bring a support to Rav Chilkiah from this. Mishum de Rami de Tano de Bey Rabbi Levoi Aditoni Levi. Rav Nachman says that Rav Dimi raises a contradiction between the Bar Levoi source that we saw just above and the Toni Levi new source that we're about to see immediately. And since Rav Dimi raises a contradiction between the two sources, and the second source is definitely talking about a case of non-Bismano, so we know that the source above was also talking about a case of Mechusar Zman. So to go over the main point as to how we know, or how the Gemara is going to bring the Toni Bar Levoi as a support to Rav Chilkiah, and not to take the position that we did earlier and simply push it off as talking about a case of the Osham Nozir and Osham Mitzora as Bismano, because Rav Dimi himself, as we mentioned earlier, raises the Bar Levoi source as a contradiction to the Toni Levi source. And in the Toni Levi source, it's clear that we're talking about a case of Mechusar Zman, of Shelo Bismano. So that if it's a case of Mechusar Zman in the Toni Levi source, and Rav Dimi raises the Toni Levi source as a contradiction to the Bar Levoi source, it must be that the Bar Levoi source is also under the same circumstances of Sheloi Bismanoi. Let's see how the contradiction appears. The Toni Levi, Osham Nazir, the Osham Mitzora, Sheshachton Shaloi Lishmon, if these korbanos are shechted without the proper intent, ksherin, the korban itself is acceptable, v'lo olu l'baylim l'shum choiva. However, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. Shachton mechusar zman bebaylim, oy shehoyu b'nei shtei shonim v'shachton, if he shechted them before the owners were ready, in other words, it's a case of mechusar zman, or the animals were over age, they were 2 years old, and he shechted them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, psulim, they would be unfit. And being that they would be unfit, he would also be putter from chutz. Let us now analyze with the aid of the markings. The source above spoke about an Osham Nozir and an Osham Mitzora. Now, it wasn't black on white what the problem of the Osham Nozir and Osham Mitzora in that source were, but it was mentioned, and in that source the result was that there is a problem of chutz, their chayav b'chutz. Here we have a source that Rav Dimi feels contradicts. It features Osham Nozir and Osham Mitzora, and it describes them, here it describes it black on white as being done b'mechusar zman. The source describes it as being pasul, and hence if done b'chutz, there would be an exemption. So, if once again, if Rav Dimi is raising the Toni Levi source as a contradiction to the Bar Levoi source, the case of the Osham Nozir and Osham Mitzora there were in effect b'mechusar zman. Just like the Reisha of that source spoke about an Ola b'mechusar zman. The Osham Nozir and Osham Mitzora also are mechusar zman. And the contradiction that Rav Dimi raised was the problem that above there was a chiyuv if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, and here in the Toni Levi source, there is exemption if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash. By that point, the Gemara was trying to bring a support to Rav Chilkiyah from the Bar Livoi source. Let's go over how that would have worked as a support. There was featured that there would be guilt of chutz if the Oshem Nozir and Oshem Mitzora were done b'chutz b'mechusar zman. Isn't that what Rav Chilkiyah spoke about? An Osham done b'chutz b'mechusar zman? Now, how is there a chiyuv? So we would say the chiyuv would be if he did it shelo lishmo. The Gemara goes on to say, Umishani, Mishani Rav Dimi, who raised a contradiction between these two sources, explains there's no contradiction, lo kashio, kan lishmoi, kan shelo lishmoi. The second source which suggested exemption for chutz, it's because the osham was done lishem osham b'mechusar zman. And an osham lishmo b'mechusar zman would not have been fit to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. The earlier source, which suggested guilt for the osham done b'mechusar zman b'chutz, that's because it was done sheloi lishmoi, which is exactly what Rav Chilkiyah said. So, with this in mind, we would in fact have a support for Rav Chilkiyah's teaching, which was an osham b'mechusar zman sheloi lishmoi b'chutz would be chayav, because such a korban, if done in the Beis HaMikdash, would have been acceptable as a kosher korban. Rav Ashi Rami Masnisan Abraisa Umishani. Rav Ashi raises a contradiction between, what it seems to be a contradiction, between the Mishnah, which said that if it's done lishmo, there would be an exemption. If the Osham, the Mechutzer Zman, would be Potter, that was suggested by the Mishnah, and the Brisa that we saw above, the first of these, the Tana the Bei Levoi Brisa, which suggested that the Osham would be Chayav if done Bachutz. Umishani, and Ravashi answers, Kan Lishmoi, the Mishnah that suggested that the Osham done Bachutz would be Potter, it's because it was done Lishmo, was done as an Osham. The Kan, the source, the Bar Livoi source, which says that there would be guilt, it's done sheloi lishmoi, like Rav Chilkiyah taught. Well, with all of this in mind, we seem to have solid support for Rav Chilkiyah. Lema tevi tufte de Rav Huna. Should we say that this now represents a contradiction or a repudiation of Rav Huna's stance? Just to remind ourselves, Rav Huna was found second line from the bottom of the previous Amud. You can notice Rav Huna by looking for the star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Amud, the Kuf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. And when you spot the star, the second line from the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet Beis, you'll see that it indicates Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. So we're asking now that the conclusion we've reached till this point that supports Rav Chilkiyah would seem to repudiate Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that, listen, if Lishmoi it will be exempt, then Shelo Lishmo it should certainly be exempt. Yet we see a source above which indicates that there is guilt. Omar loch Rav Huna, hocha b'may askinan. Here that there is a chiyuv, that mechusar zman is chayav, if done shelo lishmoi, kegon shehifrish shtei ashamos la'achrayas. It's talking about a very special case. We're talking about an owner that set aside two animals, to be brought as an osham, one of them being a backup for if anything happens to one, he has the replacement animal right there. So he set aside two animals, one being l'shem achrayas, which means a guarantee or a backup. D'chad minayhu me'ikora oilo hi. One of those two is really at the outset an ola. The man doesn't need two oshams, and if everything goes all right, he brings only one korban. So what's going to be the fate of the other one? The other one will eventually be brought as a korban oila. Therefore, if we take a look at Rashi, we'll appreciate this a little more. Second line from the bottom. Shnei ashamos lachrayas, shim yoivan ho'echod, if one gets lost, yiskaper b'sheni, he'll have the second one for atonement. V'shochad echod mein b'chutz koidem zmanu l'shem oila. And he shechted one of them before the time, before the appropriate time. He shechted it outside with an ola in mind. Maybe it's an osham shelo lishmo. He had the non-osham korban in mind, but rather he shechted as an ola. The high cave on the soifoi l'raya koi, this animal, which eventually, if everything would have gone according to schedule and he wouldn't have done anything prematurely, and used one, the other one, the remaining one, would have been sent out to graze till it gets a blemish. The osham shikubu bailov, the rule is that an osham whose owner received atonement, and he has the osham that he doesn't need anymore, roya v'dom of leketz ha-mizbeach, it goes to graze till it gets a blemish, it's redeemed, and the money is used for keitz ha-mizbeach, voluntary sacrifices or non-obligatory sacrifices to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Shehi oila, the keitz ha-mizbeach sacrifices are always olas. Chozi leduchte b'fnim, ishochet legufe le'oila. Therefore, this second osham that he doesn't really need, in the event that everything goes according to plan, this second animal was really designed to be a korban oila. And therefore, since it's designed to be a korban ola, if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, he in effect is doing an ola b'chutz. And as a result of that, that's why there is chiyuv. However, if it's not a case where he set aside two, but he had simply one korban osham, Rav Huna will still insist on saying that it can't be that there would be a chiyuv if the osham is done shelo lishmo b'chutz, when if done lishmo, there would have been exemption. The Gemara goes on to give a little more background to this halacha of shtei ashamos that were set aside le'achrayas, kede Rav Huna Amarav, based on Rav Huna Amarav's teaching, the Amar Rav Huna Amarav, osham shenitak l'raya, a korban osham that was disconnected from its osham status by virtue of the fact that the owner doesn't need it, so it's set aside to graze till it gets a mum, and then the money would be used to buy a korban ola. So if you have an osham like that, that was set out to graze, let's say you didn't wait till it got a mum, but it was ruled upon to graze, v'shachtoi stam, and he shechted it in the Beis HaMikdash without a specific korban in mind. That's called shachtoi stam, kosher li ola. It serves as an acceptable korban ola. And therefore, under those circumstances where he had set aside two ashams, one of them, as we said before, was really designed to be an ola. And as a result of that, Rav Huna will say the reason there's guilt for the shechitas asham b'chutz is because, in effect, he was shechting that which really is designed to be an ola. So he's shechting an ola b'chutz that is chayav. Hamale mi besar chatos v'chulei. Before we go further in the Gemara, we take a look at the side. We have a nose, mivneh heading, topic heading with structural note. The diamond is featured, as you will see, a couple diamonds in this source. Minayin, the source will be looking for sources. Rishima shildvarim upuulois. We'll have lists of items and actions she'ein aleim chiyuv chutz, where there is no violation of chutz if done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Minayin lemale mibasar chatos umibasar oshim umibasar kochim kochim umibasar kochim kalim. From where do we know that one who offers up the meat of a sin offering, an oshem offering, or other holy sacrifices, other kochei kochim, or the meat of light level sacrifices. By the way, meat of these korbanos is not something that is to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, umi moisar ha'omer, let's say someone offers up the omer, the meal offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, after the handful is removed, the remaining amount of the meal offering is called the moisar omer. Ushte halechem, the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, v'lechem aponim, or the weekly breads that are kept in the hechal, on the golden table, in the shulchan azov, in the hechal. Ushyor minochos, or the remnant, the remainder of Menachos after the handful is removed, if any of these items that we just enumerated are offered up on an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash Potter, from where do we know that there is exemption? Talmud Loimar Oila, the Pasuk in Vayikra Yudzayin Pasuk Ches, in the context of Shchut Echutz, mentions the Ola. Ma Oila Shehi Re'uyo La'ala, just like the Korban Ola is something that is fit to be offered up, af kol shruli oila lahalo, so to any other item that's fit, that's designed to be offered up, but the meat, let us say, of a sin offering, etc., these are examples of things that are not fit to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, if they're offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, they do not carry with them the violation of chutz, of haloas chutz. Minayin she'af hayotzek, there's going to be a long list of actions, of activities, and all of these activities will also result in ptur, in exemption. You can see with our markings, we've dashed, underlined the word shepotur above, and it'll be coming up. Basically, the question is, how do I know that all of these things will be exempt if done outside the Beis HaMikdash? And the source, the Braisa, will supply us with an answer. So, what are these actions? So, we have hayotzeik, this is the pouring of oil over a korban mincha, v'habolel, or the mixing of the korban mincha, the meal offering, with its oil content, v'apoises, or the breaking apart of the meal offering loaves, v'hamoleach, or the salting, v'ameinif, v'amegish, the waving and the drawing near to the mizbeach, or the drawing near to an altar. In this case, we'll talk about an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'amasader ha-shulchan, or one who sets up the lechem upon him on the shulchan while outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'ameitiv ha-saneros, or one prepares the wicks of the menorah outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'hakoymeitz, one who takes a handful of a meal offering, or v'hamakabil domim b'chutz, or one does kabolas dam of a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash, shepoter, that all of these actions are exempt if done. They're exempt from the serious penalty of kores, which is not the case, let us say, if one did zrika sadam, or one did shchita. Talmud lomar asher yale oilo zavach. The pasuk that deals with the violation of chutz says this: asher yale zavach ma halah shehi gemar avoda. Just like halah is the end activity, where there is nothing that follows. That's the offering up, the burning on the altar is the final stage of the sacrificial act. Av kol shu gemar avoda. So too, any other act that you want to hold responsible or in violation of chutz, it must be a final act, and not these. These are all interim acts. Ad shelo hukam hamishkan v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned some points of a historical nature. It mentioned that before the Mishkan was set up, bamos were allowed, and avoda was done by the bechoros, by the firstborn, and not by the kohanim. So prior, according to our Mishnah, prior to the setting up of the Mishkan, which took place in the second year of their sojourn in the desert, prior to that point, sacrificial activity was done by the firstborn. Yosef Rav Huna bar Rav Ketino kamedo Rav Chista, the Yosef Rav Chista for Kokori. And Rav Chista read a pasuk, Vayishlach es Narei b'nei Yisrael. He cited this pasuk, which is a pasuk at Mount Sinai, and Rav Chista explained that this was a reference to the firstborn. So we can say that at this event, there was sacrificial activity done at Mount Sinai, which was just a few weeks after they left Mitzrayim, and the sacrificial activity was done by the Bechoros. Omar Le, Rav Huna speaks up and says, before we go further, we must take note of the markings. We have a volcano form. And actually, before we go any further into the Gemara, we should read the topic heading, the Nosei. On the outside margin, Beis Deos will see two opinions in this sugya, Bi'ad Mosai Shimshu HaBechoros BeKahuna. Until when did the firstborn serve as the Kehanim? The firstborn as opposed to the sons of Aaron and their future generations. So there will be two Deos historically. Up till what point in history did the Bechoros serve the role of the Kehanim, the ones responsible for the sacrificial activity? One Deos says, Ad Maimed Har Sinai Bilvad. Just for a few weeks, until the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. The second opinion, Ad Hakomas HaMishkan, which would be a year later, when the Mishkan was set up. According to the second opinion, the Bechoros served a longer period of time as the Kehanim. Mimosai be'avar boi oilo hefshit v'nituach. From what point in the past was a korban ola required to undergo skinning and dismembering? That's hefshit v'nituach. As far as the markings, the mivneh, the structural note, we see a volcano form, or trapezoid. This represents Shnei Meimros Shel Rav Huna, two comments of Rav Huna, She'achar kach Rav Chisda matkif betzitut mibraisa. Later on, Rav Huna will attack these two comments of Rav Huna from a citation of a braisa that will appear later. Turning back to the Gemara, we saw Rav Chisda recite a pasuk that featured the Maimed Har Sinai, and the pasuk mentions, according to Rav Chisda's explanation, that the avoda, the sacrificial activity, was done by the firstborn. Omar Le, the first volcano form, and we call it also number one, Rav Huna responds and says, Hochi Omar Rav Asi u pasku. Namely, it stopped. That day, the avoda stopped from the Bechoros. Namely, according to Rav Huna, from Sinai onwards, the sons of Aaron and his sons were designated as those responsible for sacrificial activity. Sovar lo'osove mimasnisen. Rav Chisda wanted to ask on this position of Rav Huna from our Mishnah. After all, in our Mishnah, it said that until the Mishkan was set up, which is much longer, it's a whole year later, until the Mishkan was set up, Avoda continued to be done by the Bechoros. Rav Huna is claiming over here, by his quote of Rav Asi, that the Bechoros stopped already much earlier at Sinai. So Rav Chisda thought to ask on Rav Huna from our Mishnah. However, he didn't ask immediately. Shamei deka'omar mishmeder of Adabar Ava, Rav Chisda heard Rav Huna say a second point. In the name of Rav Ada, he said the following, Oilo shikrivu Yisrael ba'midbar, the Ola sacrifice that was offered in the Midbar, in the desert before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, Eino te'una hefshit v'nituach, does not require skinning, hefshit, and nituach, dismembering. In other words, the Korban Ola being sacrificed is completely burnt, according to this approach, the entire animal, after slaughtered, would be placed on the altar. Osvei mi braisa de shavya bekulhu. At this point, Rav Chisda, after hearing these two points of Rav Huna, Rav Chisda raises an attack or a question on Rav Huna's points from a brisa, the Shavya Beglu, that addresses both issues. The Sanya, the following brisa, noting, of course, that we have some extensive dashed underlining to bring out the main points. We also want to bring to the fore that this is a long question. We see on the to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The Desanya, the source says, Ad shelo hukam ha-mishkan, habomo ismutoros v'avoido bevechoros. Right away, we see from this Tanaic source that up till the point of the Mishkan, the sacrificial activity was done by the firstborn. And up till the Mishkan is a longer time period than up till Sinai, which Rav Huna claimed. Furthermore, V'hakol k'sherim likrav, everything is acceptable to be offered as sacrifices, behemo, chaya, ve'oiv zchor menukevus, whether it be domesticated animals, undomesticated animals, birds, male, female, tamimim bali mumin, unblemished or blemished tahurin, provided they are of a kosher variety, animal of aloi tamein, but not unkosher type animals. Valkol korvu oilois. All of this is until the Mishkan was set up. We're saying that all of these types of animals would have been acceptable, and everything that was brought as a sacrifice was brought as an ola. For ola shikrivu Yisrael b'midbar teuna hefshet v'nituach. And you can see by looking at the arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, compare this with what was mentioned earlier. We saw that it said ola shikrivu Yisrael b'midbar does not require hefshet v'nituach. Here we have the same situation of ola shikrivu Yisrael b'midbar. It says teuna hefshet v'nituach, which is contrary to the second point of Rav Huna. V'nochrim bizmanazeh rashoyim la'asos kein. Gentiles, even today, are allowed to practice sacrificial offerings to the Almighty, because the concept of private altars was not banned with regard to Gentiles. At this point, though, we have reached the end of the long question that Rav Chisda is posing to Rav Huna. The response, Tanoihi. But before we go further, we just want to point out that the immediate piece of Gemara will be a response or a solution to the issue of Avoida Bevechoros. The issue of the Ola, that will be dealt with later. So what we tried to do here with our markings is indicate with a bow tie form that there are two topics that have to be dealt with, and you can see tanoi. We marked the word tanoi with a bow tie, and later on when the Gemara asks, you can see the bow tie five lines from the bottom. At that point, right immediately before that, the Gemara says, Elokasha Oila, the issue of the Ola, will, up to that point, not remain, will not be resolved. At that point, the Gemara will resolve the issue of the Ola and say, Tre Tanoi. So, with this, with the bow tie, you can see how both issues will eventually be answered. But by virtue of the fact that we have the opportunity through our recorded shiur to inform you that even though both questions were raised, the two answers, the answer to both of them will not be immediate. Only the first issue, the issue of Avoda Bucharos, will be dealt with. Later, the issue of the Ola will come to the fore. So the Gemara says, Tanoihi, the issue concerning up till what point in time did the Bechoros function is a machlokes tanoim. So that Rav Huna is not knocked off by the brisa we just read, because he has a source to base himself on as well. Desanya, we have the following source. V'gam, this posuk is found by Maimed Har Sinai. It says, V'gam ha-koyhanim ha-nigoshim el Hashem yiskadoshu. The kohanim who are generally generally offer sacrifices. The term Kohanim here is to be, one has to approach it with an open mind. Kohanim will mean people who serve. We're not defining yet who it's referring to, but even those that serve in offering sacrifices, when it comes to Mount Sinai, they are to maintain a distance, not to climb up the mountain at this point prior to Matan Torah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua, looking at this pasuk, says, Zu Precious Bechoros. This is a reference to the firstborn not to go up on the mountain. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Zu Precious Nodav Vaviu. This is a warning to Nodav and Aviu not to draw near to the mountain. The point being that at this early point, Nadav and Aviu, who were the sons of Aaron, were designated to be the official Kohanim. So that according to this, this would reflect Rav Huna's position, that they were already designated at Sinai as Kohanim and not until the Mishkan. We mentioned before that the Gemara will deal with the issue of the stira, or the contradiction to Rav Huna that we saw with regard to the Ola and its requirement for Hefshep and Nituach. What we have provided here is a bracketed section which extends down till that point where the Gemara says Ela Kashya Ola. In the brackets, the Gemara will be dealing with this particular machlokes, pointing out that the difficulties that could be raised to each manda omar that we just saw regarding the bechoros. So, with that having been said, now that you have this overview, realizing that after the brackets, the Gemara will deal with the ola question and provide an answer to benefit Rav Huna. Inside the brackets, we'll now go back and forth regarding these two opinions dealing with the issue of Bechoros and the sons of Aaron. Bishlomo lemanda omar, zu precious nadav v'aviu. Things can be understood more easily according to this opinion that says that nadav and aviu at Maimon Har Sinai were already designated as Koyhanim, and the pasuk that says "Vegam haKoyhanim anigosh melshem yiskadoshu" is addressing specifically the sons of Aaron, and it says that it uses the word yiskadoshu. Hainu dichtiv, I can through this approach understand the following pasuk that appears at the setting up of the Mishkan almost a year later. At which point in time, on the day the Mishkan was set up, Aleph Nisan, of the second year in the Midbar, a very tragic event took place, where Nadav and Aviu died in their attempting to serve Hashem. Hainu dichtiv, it says, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor b'kroivai ekodesh. That through those that are close to me, I will be sanctified. Let us take a look at the Rashi, who explains this a little more elaborately. Toward the end of the narrow lines, Hainu dichtiv, kishemesu nodav aviu, it says, when they died, hu asher diber, v'chulei, Kideka Omar Besinai, the Pasuk in Vayikra, Paragud Pasuk Gimel, that says Bikrovai Ekadesh, is similar in, let's say, it sounds similar to that which was said at Sinai, Pen Yifroitz Baum Hashem, one must maintain a distance from Mount Sinai, so that Hashem otherwise doesn't punish. The Kevan Shelo Nizharu Lifroish Minahecha Bakomas Mishkan Poratz Bohem. And since at the time the Mishkan was set up, they were not careful in keeping their distance. In other words, Nadav and Avihu were guilty of drawing too close to temple activity, we'll say, and they weren't careful with maintaining a distance. They in fact paid with their lives, parats bohem. So what are we saying? If you say that at Mount Sinai Nadav and Avihu were warned with the concerning the topic of keeping a distance, and that if one doesn't keep a distance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge. It therefore fits into the scheme of thing that of the scheme of things that when they did not maintain their distance at the time the Mishkan was set up, and they drew too near, they violated the need to keep a distance, and that's why they paid with their lives. So we can say in simple terms, they were already warned, they specifically were warned to keep their distance, whether it be from Mount Sinai or subsequently in the Mishkan. Elo, the Gemara goes on, Lamandomar zu precious bechoros, hecho remiza. But according to the approach that was taken by the first opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Korcha, that the Becharos, the firstborn, were being approached, were being warned that to keep their distance from the mountain, in other words, the warning of maintaining a distance. Hecha Remiza, where is there a reference, an earlier reference to the a reference prior to the event of the death and of Nadav Avihu, where was there a reference to that? So the Gemara explains to the benefit of Rav Yishuv ben Korcha, as far as the death of Nadav and Avihu, there was an earlier reference or a remez to that. Dichtiv v'ne'adeti shama livnei Yisrael v'nikdash b'chvoidi. Al tikri b'chvoidi ela b'kvudai. Let us look at the Rashi v'nikdash b'kvodi. Second wide line, Nemro loy l'moshe b'yom shenitzdavim leches ha-mishkan. This pasuk was said to Moshe on the day that there was a command regarding the building or the construction of the Mishkan. V'romaz lo, there was a remez, a hint to Moshe, shebiyom shiashru shchinos al abayis, on the day that he, the Kodesh Baruch the Almighty, enables his divine presence to settle upon the structure, yiskadesh b'kvoidov, he will be exalted through the ones that, through the honored ones. V'lo nirmaz lahovin mahu ad shemesu, and it wasn't clear to Moshe Rabbeinu what was being referred to until it actually happened. So that you have the pasuk v'nei aditi shama livnei Israel, that I will, says the Almighty, I will cause my divine presence to settle upon the Mishkan, v'nikdash b'kavodi, and I will be exalted through my honored ones. The Gemara expounds now on this. Dovar zeh romaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. This matter, the matter of the death of Nadav Avihu, was hinted to by the Almighty to Moshe v'lo yodoi, but Moshe did not understand it ad shemesu b'nei Aaron, until Nadav and Avihu died. Kevan shemesu b'nei Aaron, when they died, now on the day of the setting up of the Mishkan, Omar loy, Moshe said to Aaron, Aaron achi, my brother Aaron, lo mesu bonecho elo lahakti shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your children, your two sons, Nadav and Avihu died for the express purpose of causing the name of God to be exalted. We can say, in our terms, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu issued instructions, very clear instructions of what is to be done in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan. And there was also warning that it's a very serious matter for things to be done just right, just so. And if anyone veers off, violates, and does things, even if they have good intentions, but they do things other than that which the Kodesh Baruch Hu instructed, they will pay, and they will pay dearly for it. And the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu acted upon this serves to show how serious and holy the topic or the matter is, and as a result of this, this causes the name of God to be exalted. This entire process, or this dramatic event which resulted in the exaltation of the name of the Almighty, took place through the death of Aaron's sons. Kevon shiyod Aaron shebonav yidu'ei mokoim hein. At this point that Moshe Rabbeinu explained to Aaron that his sons are of a chosen nature, shosak, he remained silent. In other words, up till this point, he's a bereaved father, and in all likelihood, he would have bemoaned and the death of his children. When Moshe Rabbeinu tells him this, he remains silent. The kibel sachar al shtikoso, and he received reward for his silence. Shenemar, the pasuk indicates the silence of Aaron vayidoim Aaron. V'chein b'David u'omer, and likewise with regard to David, we have a pasuk that speaks of a similar situation. Doim l'Hashem v'hischoilel loy. The Gemara explains, Aval pi shemati lo chalolim chalolim at doim. Even if, heaven forbid, the Kodesh Baruch Hu causes death, chalolim chalolim, many die, remain silent. Don't attempt to challenge the divine will. It's this kind of silence and acceptance that warrants great reward. V'chein b'Shlomo omer, and likewise with regard, in the case of Shlomo, he said the following: Eis lachshos ve'eis ledaber. Pa'amim shodam shoisek u'mekabel schar. Lachshos means to remain silent. There are times that a person is silent and receives reward. U'mekabel schar ala shtika. U'pa'amim shemedaber u'mekabel schar al hadibor. And there are other times when a person speaks and he receives reward for what he says. V'ainu domer Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan. And this episode of the death of Nadab Avihu illustrates that which Rav Chiya teaches in the name of Rav Yochanan. Mai dichtiv noiro elokim mimikdoshecha. Al tikri mimikdoshecha elo mimikudoshecha. No ra, awesome is the Lord from through the holy ones. B'shah she'ois HaKadosh Baruch Hu din b'kedoshav, at the time the Kodesh Baruch Hu carries out justice through his holy ones. Misyore u'mis'ale u'mis'halel. This causes a sense of awe and fear and exaltation of the name of the Almighty. As you can see, the brackets closes here because we are really reverting back to the earlier issue of the Ola. We mentioned Rav Huna's position. Rav Huna was quoted in the Gemara saying that the Ola that the Jews offered in the Midbar prior to Matan Torah did not require Hefshet V'Nituach. We then saw a Tanaic source that suggested that the Ola that the Jews offered in the Midbar did require Hefshet v'nituach, Hefshet skinning, nituach, dismembering before being offered on the altar. The Gemara then reminds us, Ela, Kashya Ola, but the issue of the Ola remains unfinished, so to speak. The question was raised before. The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoihi. There are two Tanoim, two Tanaic approaches with regard to the time period historically at which the Ola required Hefshet V'Nituach. According to Rav Huna, the need for Hefshet V'Nituach was not so immediate. Let us see the Tanaic approaches. Desanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Klolos Nemru B'Sinai, Uprotos B'Omoyed. At the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, general rules were stated, but details of the rules were not stated. Therefore, the idea of offering a korban ola was known, but the procedure and how to deal with the korban ola was not explained at Sinai. It was only later on in the Oil Moyed. So the protos, the details, including hefshet v'nituach, skinning, and the need for dismembering, were stated only later at the Oil Moed when the Mishkan was set up. Hence, the idea that Rav Huna reflected before, that the Ola Shekrivu Yisrael Bamidbar doesn't need hefshet v'nituach, that would conform to what Rav Yishmoel is suggesting. Rabbi Akiva Omer, close the protos Nemru b'Sinai, v'nishnu b'moed, v'nishtalshu b'arvus moed. According to Rabbi Akiva, at Mount Sinai already, the details, in addition to the general principles, were stated. They were then reviewed in the Oil Moed, and said over a third time, b'arvus moed, which was at the end of the sojourn in the Midbar, prior to the Jews entering the land. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new structure, a new marking. We see a house form. On the outside margin, we see the Mivneh. And the Mivneh, we also indicate that this will continue until Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Beis. The house form surrounds Omar Mar, Tzitutim Mehabraisa Deliel, Ad Shaloi. We had a Tanaic source in the middle of this Omid, toward the end of the narrow lines, that opened with the words Ad Shaloi Hukam HaMishkan. As we go on till Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Beis, we will see quotes from that source, so that if you have Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Beis available, you'll notice at the upper part of the page another house form, which is a quote from this source. The Gemara begins, Omar Mar Hakok Sherim Lahakriv. The source says that all kinds of options are available for offering as sacrifices. Before the setting of the Mishkan, many different options existed, which we know later on were discontinued or became invalid. But prior to the setting of the Mishkan, a lot of things were available. Mino Hani Mili. What is the source for this? And by the way, we should point out that we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up the page, you'll see where this quote came from. So the Gemara at this point is asking, from where do we know that, as far as sacrifices are concerned, that technically speaking, all of the examples cited in the Braisa are valid as sacrifices, to, of course, be changed at the time the Mishkan is set up. But from where do we know that prior to that, that these were considered acceptable as sacrifices? Omar Rav Huna, Yomakro, Vayiven Noyach Mizbeach Lashem. Noyach set up an altar for the Almighty, in honor of the Almighty. Vayikach Mikol HaBehemo HaTohiro Mikol Oif HaTohor. And he took from all of these different creatures and offered sacrifices. Behemo v'oif kimashmo. The pasuk itself makes reference in an explicit fashion to animals, to the behemo, domesticated animals, and oif, birds. Chayo, as far as what was mentioned in the brice above, that undomesticated kosher variety animals were also acceptable. That's bichlal behemo. They are part of the category. Chayo is considered a subcategory of the behemo classification. Zichorim unikevas tmimu bali mumin. The brisa that had mentioned male, female, unblemished and blemished. Laafuke mechusur aver dolo. This is coming to exclude the type of animal that's missing a limb. In other words, even though there is quite a variety of options, quite a number of options open to what to bring as a korban, nevertheless one has to be careful not to bring as a sacrifice an animal missing a limb. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.